It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And we want to thank our sponsors, SeatSitters.com and Schoolcraft College. I'm loving the class I'm taking at Schoolcraft. I'm taking a French class.
Oui, oui.
And, c'est très bien. Don't I sound French now?
You totally do.
Thank you, Schoolcraft. No. But if you're looking, if you've got a hobby, if there's something you're interested in, like maybe you've been baking and you're like, oh, am I really good at baking, or am I just, like, they've got all these great classes. You can, like, step up your game a little. That's what I feel like I'm doing, like taking your hobby and stepping it up a little. Culinary, language, fitness. They have classes on drones. Like, if you ever wanted to learn how to, you know, make a drone or control a drone or just drone on and on like I am. definitely check out schoolcraft.edu/CEPD. That's their continuing ed program. And of course, you can always find it on our website, stacyandlynnpodcast.com. And today we are so excited. We have a guest with us, Megan LaCrosse, the Director of Philanthropy for Hospice of Michigan.
Yes, thank
Welcome.
You for having me.
Thank you for being here. We love to give, like, you know, we love to talk about what's happening and be a safe place for people to, you know, hear about issues that maybe they're dealing with. But we also want to give resources to people who may not know where to turn.
Exactly. You know, healthcare, end of life, even 2-3 years out of end of life, it's so confusing, so hard. Where do I go to? Who do I call? It is a difficult time.
And I have to say, I did not even, and I'm not sure I really always still do, understand exactly hospice, right? So, and I can't be, I always feel if I don't understand something, there's got to be other people out there,
right?
Of course. So I always thought, like, if someone says hospice, it means, like, death right away. But that's not necessarily the case, is it?
It is not. I've been working at Hospice of Michigan for over 11 years, and there's so many myths and misconceptions about what hospice is. I was one of them.
Okay.
I thought, my mom became a registered nurse for Hospice of Michigan, and I said, how can you do that? Like, that's the last few days
right.
of someone's life.
Yes.
And she goes, you have a lot to learn. It's way more than that.
I love your mom.
Right.
I want to meet her.
Right.
You know, it's about the last 6 months mm-hmm. of someone's life. If they have a terminal diagnosis, as long as it runs its natural course, they're eligible for hospice.
Okay.
You know, if you think about how crazy the last few days of someone's life is,
right.
why not make the last 6 months or longer so much better? Support
right.
for the family. The patient has their pain and symptoms under control, emotional, spiritual support, volunteers, this whole team that really wraps around the patient and their family
mm-hmm.
for so much longer. And then when there is a crisis at the end of the life, we already know them.
Mm-hmm.
We know their story.
Right.
But there is, you know, when we hear of hospices the last few days, it's because we wait too long.
Yes.
To say it's time.
Right. It's funny because my friend's sister's husband just died like mm-hmm. last week. And she just sent me a text this week saying he was supposed to go on hospice like 5 months ago, but the poor guy waited until the last 5 days, you know? And now even hearing what you're saying, like, right, the poor guy waited till the last 5 days where he could have had the comfort and, you know, the surrounding and the, mm-hmm. of all that you just talked about, knowing the people prior to the last 5 days, right?
Because right.
being comfortable with those people that are with you, you know, the last few months rather than waiting till the last few days to bring them in makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and actually 40% of the hospice patients are only on hospice for 14 days or less.
Wow.
And it's
wow.
a Medicare benefit that, you know, whenever I've done a hospice talk to seniors in the community, they say, well, how much is it going to cost me?
Right.
Of course.
You know, it is a Medicare benefit, Medicaid, most private insurances.
Mm-hmm.
Even for those individuals that aren't of Medicare age yet and they don't have a hospice benefit on their private insurance or they're totally uninsured, Hospice Michigan will still take them. We will not say no, and they will not see a bill.
See, it's interesting because on your website, I saw that this statistic about 40% or less mm-hmm. than 14 days. So that's not, you're not saying that's a great thing. You're
no.
saying we wish they were in there longer.
Yes.
See, I even probably read that wrong when I read it. Like, oh, okay, you're saying like, but no, you're saying that's not good. It's a benefit. You have it.
It is.
Use it. Let's get in there. Let's make your family member comfortable.
When my mother-in-law passed 2 years ago, she got hospice in June and she passed at the end of August. And it was very quick. We were grateful that, you know, that it was quick for her. But they did know the caregivers, like my husband did, and they were all working together as a team. Like when she decided she didn't want to take her medication anymore, and my husband said, can I just blend them up in a smoothie? They were like, yes. And they were so helpful. They treated my father-in-law and my husband and his sister like part of the team. And it was really, it really made it go so much easier. I mean, not that it's ever easy, but I feel like she was treated with dignity. Everybody was treated with dignity and respect. It was really a very good situation at a very bad time.
But do you feel that most people like want to say they can do it themselves, or they feel guilty to say, I don't want someone else taking care of my mom?
We do hear that, you know, it's that pride of I can take care of my mom or my dad or my loved one. Mm-hmm. There's also different cultural things that say we're there for the family. We don't need anyone coming in. And then you also have some of our elderly that have trust issues with someone coming into their home.
Oh, right.
And with our Hospice Michigan's team, it is a dedicated team. Like you said, you got to know the nurse, the aide, the social worker, the chaplain. And that's the goal. We don't want a different nurse in every visit because they need to know that patient, know the story, know the family, and build that bond to really help coach the family and educate them through that process. And back to your point, too, about how you were kind of everyone was involved. Everyone was part of the team, your husband and your father-in-law. I just spoke with someone the other day, and he said, you know, when my mother-in-law was on Hospice Michigan's care, it wasn't just about her.
Yes.
They focused on my wife and I.
Nice.
They kept calling, you know, for 2 years for grief support afterwards to check in on us because everyone grieves differently. Because we were part of that whole team. And we're honestly, hospice is along for the ride.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Remember one time I was getting, this is such a crazy story and it's going to sound like it's going Stacy Diva, but I swear it veers off. I was getting a pedicure and I ended up talking to the woman getting a pedicure next to me. And we were just chatting and she said, what do you do? And I said, oh, I work on a radio morning show. She's like, oh, I could never do that. It seems so frightening. And then I said, oh, you know, and I said, what do you do? She said, I'm a hospice volunteer. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
No. Talk about the harder job.
Yes.
Like, but she was acting like, oh, it was no big deal. But you could tell it takes a very special kind of person to be able to do that. And how do you find those people?
It is truly a calling. A lot of our staff have either had a personal experience or they've worked in healthcare and they've want to make a difference in the end of life. And honestly, once they're there, it's, you know, you don't leave. We get asked all the time, oh, you work for hospice. How can you do that?
Right.
And previous to working on the development team, I was out with families, helping them get signed on to services, you know, having hospice 101 talks in the community. And it's, you know what, we're making the worst part of someone's life the best it can be. We're helping them.
You are.
Be comfortable and with dignity and quality of life. And we're making a difference. And
well, plus, I think for the family members, too, you're making it better because there's someone else there helping so that they can maybe actually enjoy some time with their loved one and, you know, not be, you know, constantly, are you okay? Do you need this? They can actually sit and relax with them a little bit. And I'm sure the person receiving hospice appreciates that too, that more one-on-one time when other people are taking care of them and the
family. This is something to keep in mind. I just met up with a friend. We were down in Florida, met up with an old friend, and I hadn't heard much from her lately. And it turned out, she'd had a horrible, horrible year. Her brother had died. And when she got to Virginia for the end of his life, she discovered that her husband's wife had dementia and he'd been hiding it from the family. So she had to stay in Virginia, help take care of the wife because they have one child who was out in California, a young person working. So she had to get her settled, find a place for her, take care of all of that stuff. And then when she finally got home, her mother-in-law got an injury and ended up living with them for a month.
Wow.
And so we were discussing this and I said, well, you know, this is why Lynn and I started up this podcast, because we didn't know what was going on in each other's lives. And we felt like we should be there supporting each other. And I feel bad. I didn't know what you were going through. And she said, we all tend to close in when stuff is going on. We just like, all right, this is what I've got to do. I don't want to bother anybody else with it. Because I said, I'm free now. I could have come helped you pack up a house or do something. I got nothing but time. Like, she's like, but that's the thing. We don't want to call our friends.
Right.
But But we should. Mm-hmm. And we should let our friends know if they're dealing with something. Hey, did you know about hospice and what they offer? And check it out for them. Get them the information.
Mm-hmm. We see that a lot.
I bet you do. Is that what happens? Is that why people wait until the very last minute? Because they're just so focused on taking care of things that they don't look for options?
I think it's that and not knowing.
Okay.
And we always say, you know, whenever we would educate the community about hospice, and still to this day, it's better to know about it before you even need it. Start talking about it before you even need it.
Right.
You know, let's talk about hospice when we're fine and, you know, nothing's crazy. And then when it is time, it's not as like uncharted territory. It's something we know about. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of, you know, folks that aren't aware of really the early benefits of hospice care. And part of it too is there's so many different options for curing or trying to do aggressive treatments that we're afraid to stop doing the aggressive treatments and looking at what are the outcomes. We know that it's going to be the same, but how can we make the quality of life better?
I think that's another one of the myths. Like,
it is.
I'm giving up if we call
very
hospice.
Yeah, good. Well said.
Yeah.
And you're not giving up though.
No. We say there's still hope. There's hope for different things, hope for reconciliation that our social workers help with, our chaplains help with that, hope for spending quality time with the family, the grandkids, mm-hmm. and just hope for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And back to also what you said with hospice being involved too, that the caregivers can, you know, be with their loved one.
Right.
It kind of goes in that same piece as hope to just spend that quality of time at the bedside holding
right.
their hand. Let Hospice Michigan do the heavy work, doing having the aides come in, doing the bathing, and having the nurse coming in to say, you know, now we're going to change this medication. How is your pain today?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? How are you doing to the caregiver?
Right.
But letting the caregiver be that family
right.
and have that time. So there is hope. It's just
right.
different hope.
Because probably most cases the caregivers still have a job,
mm-hmm.
have probably family that they need to take care of as well, maybe kids and a household and everything else. I was reading on your website about the Give a Quarter Back.
Yes.
And how you guys help with employers.
Yes.
To take care of that. Can you tell us a little bit more
about
that?
Yeah. So last year we kicked off season one of Give a Quarter Back, and it was really asking Michiganders to donate in increments of 25. And so this is season two. You know, football. Give
of course, there you go. I like that.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually identified a need where it's almost looked as to an HR benefit, because people don't realize that hospice is out there as a benefit for their loved ones. And it all came with meeting with a certain employer that said one of my employees was struggling and didn't admit that mm-hmm. they needed help, was taking on a second job, struggling, you know, day-to-day productivity at work. And after his relative had passed away, he shared, you know, I was struggling. You know, my loved one passed away. I was trying to be a caregiver. I was trying to work a second job to provide, you know, that caregiver support. And the employer said, why didn't you come to me?
Right.
Well, did you get hospice involved? He said, well, I didn't know I could afford hospice care.
Right.
So that was the eye opener. And for season two of Give a Quarterback is really helping employers and help their quarterbacks, their employees
yeah.
that are struggling with who do I call, where do I go, and mm-hmm. the benefits that hospice can bring to them as they're working. And my grandma was on the program with Alzheimer's, and that's such a hard disease. And my mom was a full-time employee. My stepdad, full-time employee. All the kids. I was going to college. So I understand that burden of,
right.
you know, trying to be a caregiver and an employee.
Well, it was funny because when I was reading all the reasons, you know, about like 80% say they go to work late mm-hmm. and 80% say they miss days of work and all that
they
kind of stuff.
They leave work early. They rearrange their work schedule.
This sounds terrible, but I mean, I think this also, you know, we're talking about taking care of, you know, our parents, but when you're taking care of your kids, I feel like that also comes into play. Like you're missing work and you're, because I know, you know, we originally got on this topic talking about the sandwich generation,
yes.
Stacey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so someone that's dealing with both, they're probably scared now to now say, now I'm taking care of my mom and I'm
right.
sorry I have to come in late and or I'm going to have to miss work. You know what I mean?
Or they were coming in late because of a child. And
that's
now
what I'm saying.
Now
that's what I'm saying.
In, and
yes.
Now I'm going to leave early too.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And it's terrible because, you know, I manage a lot of people, you know, throughout my career. And I used to always think life happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the person's already struggling enough. I would hate to think that a person doesn't want to come to tell me that they've got to take care of their parent or they've got to take their parent to a doctor's appointment. And that's
right.
why they're going to be late. I mean, guys, this, you know, at the end of the day, that's more important than this. We can cover for you. And it just broke my heart reading that and thinking exactly what I was thinking, what you just thought. That's the same thing that I've heard from people who have kids. And I never held it against them either. I mean,
It's hard.
It's hard.
And, you know, when you have an elderly loved one, it's not just, okay, they have to go see their cardiologist or this specialist, but it's the follow-up appointments. It's the routine ER visits. And then you have to go to the follow-up appointments because of the ER appointments. And then throw in a child in there that could be, you know, anywhere from even elementary up to high school or college. And there's each of those grades brings on different challenges and different things you're trying to balance.
And if your loved one lives far away, so you have to travel to see them, that just is extra time off from work. And which leads to our sponsor,
who we want to keep healthy as long as we can, is airplanes are filled with lots of germs, in case you didn't know that. Remy, Stacy, and I know this because we talk about it every single week. You just got off an airplane, okay?
And I did too last week.
Okay, see? And you know, you go on vacation and all of a sudden you end up sick and everyone's always like, I bet it was the airplane, right? Well, have you heard of SeatSitters.com? Just say yes.
you're gonna educate her just like she's educating us.
SeatSitters was put together exactly for that, for safe travel, healthy travel. It's a kit that you can get for under $20, and it comes with a seat cover, a tray table cover, two sanitary wipes, an allergy mask, and a no-nut sticker. So these are literally they perfectly fit the airplane seat. I've used them. You don't even know they're on there once you put them on there. I mean, it says SeatSitters, you see it, but I'm saying it doesn't cause any discomfort. It's, you know, perfectly made, tailored to fit the seats. And it can help you avoid the germs, you know. And we've talked in previous shows about, you know, I took a flight recently and this person was just sneezing up a storm. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm trapped right here, you know. And what happened to the seat? And then you start thinking, what was the person in the seat before me doing? So, so this shield, if you will, covers you from all those germs. So for under $20 a kit, you can fly healthy. So go to SeatSitters.com and order your kit today, or look at BedBathAndBeyond.com in the travel section.
All right, Megan, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Say someone is listening to this and they're in this situation and they go to their employer and says, hey, my mom is ill. I'm trying to take care of her. I know I've been coming in late. And the employer is not on board or as lenient as or helpful as they could be.
Or like you always see on, you know, this does happen in real life, but on TV they're like,
yeah,
you know, Bob, we all have problems.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, yeah, because this is a fun thing. You know, I'm just going to the movies every day. You know, sorry, I've got to go to these doctor's appointments. Right. So if you have someone like that.
I think just working with them and letting them know that your goal is to be the most productive and working with flexible hours and making up time, that it is important that this is, you know, there's no one else for your loved one. And really just having that open conversation about the importance of really being a caregiver and kind of removing that stigma that is out there of being a caregiver too. Because we are seeing that with the same generation. It's like, oh, you're taking care of someone. You know, we can't. But you know what? We don't want to lose our most talented employees either. And the retention is an issue. And there's cost to keeping, you know, having to hire someone new and losing that valuable employee. So I think just saying, how can we work together, whether it's a flexible work schedule or telecommute or something, to try to make that up and really stress the fact that, you know, this is something important to me and I want to be the most productive at work. And there's really no one there for my loved one. And some of the statistics we found, too, is that these employees that are in the sandwich generation are taking from their finances to pay for their loved ones, too.
I think something you just touched on, and like I said, having managed people, coming with a plan, you're already going to be so much closer to a yes. If you come with a plan and say, hey, listen, if I do this, this, and this, I can make sure I get my work done. Also, I've already spoke to, you know, Cindy, she's willing to back up any phone calls I have in the meantime. You know, if you come with a plan, the employer is already more likely to buy into it because it's not more work on them.
Exactly.
You have promised me you're going to get the job done. This is what you need. I need, you know, I have to come in every day at 10, but I'll stay till 7, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If you already have the plan, I can just tell you from my experience, you're already that much more ahead of the game.
And I would imagine that if you come in and say, hey, I'm working with Hospice of Michigan, they're helping us out as much as humanly possible, but I still need to be there for some stuff, I would think your employer would know, oh, okay, I see you're doing everything you can.
Right.
Right.
I'm curious, though, is that a conversation hospice ever gets involved in with employers or not?
Not a whole lot. And actually, the companies that we've been meeting with so far for Give a Quarterback have been very open to helping find ways that their employees can have access to resources. In one company we met with, they said, I can think of four people right now that are just struggling as a caregiver. And I said, you know, even if they don't need hospice, call me.
Oh,
I've
that's
been
nice.
Working in the healthcare industry for 11 years. There's definitely resources our social workers can help them with that maybe that's not time for hospice, but they mm-hmm. might need a private duty home care agency or something. Just call me and we can help you. And that's part of the Give a Quarterback campaign is how can we help provide more resources? And, you know, a hospice would be able to provide the most benefits. It is, you know, a robust team, but you know what? Call us.
I love that your organization, which has been wonderful at providing resources for families mm-hmm. for all these years, didn't stop there and go, okay, this is what we do and we're really good at it, but said, hey, what can we do next? Mm-hmm. Like, let's educate the employers here.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that is truly, you don't see many organizations stepping up and going, where can we go next? What can we do more to help? Especially somebody that's serving such an important need.
Right.
I would imagine you would feel like, oh, we're doing what we do and we do it well and come to us for that. Mm-hmm. But you guys really have, that's an amazing step. And I hope whoever thought of taking that next step got a huge promotion mm-hmm. because I think that's so smart.
It is. And, you know, we're going to work with our clinical teams and provide almost like a resource navigation book for these companies because it is a really uncharted, hard area to walk when you're not familiar with healthcare and your loved one is, you're struggling being the caregiver. It's like, okay, now mom is advancing in Alzheimer's, but I'm struggling keeping her safe at home. Mm-hmm. Do we look at private duty? Do we look at going somewhere? And how can we help them? And even when someone does come on to Hospice of Michigan, you know, part of the social work's role is, you know, community resources.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, we now need a private duty. Do we need placement? Do we need Medicaid application? They help, you know, there's all different things our social workers do above and beyond the emotional support that they provide.
Let me ask you this for our listeners out there right now who are struggling with maybe they need to have that conversation with their parent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was just going there.
Really?
I have several friends with parents with Alzheimer's and they don't want to leave their home and they don't want anybody in there. And how do you have that conversation?
It's about safety. It's really, you know, are they safe at home? Are they, you know, are there locks on the stove? Are there different things that you can put in place? You know, my grandma that had Alzheimer's, she was always trying to escape, but luckily my mom's worked in senior care for a long time and my stepdad has healthcare background, so we had different things put in place. But for those of you that aren't, you know, involved in healthcare, you wouldn't know how to
if you're not familiar with the different ways that Alzheimer's presents itself,
right.
Like there's paranoia where they think people mm-hmm. are trying to get them. So they, you know, don't want to leave the house and they don't want to let anybody in. There's right. all sorts of different ways it presents.
Right.
And it's very frightening
yes.
because you don't know exactly what to do for them.
Right.
Now, is someone there 24 hours a day if you're in hospice?
They are not. So okay. It's a based on the clinical needs of the patient, the nurse, RN, is assigned to the patient. They're out typically once a week. If the patient is transitioning through like those last few days of end of life, they do increase their visit frequency. So if we know they're transitioning, the nurse will be out there more often, almost
okay.
daily. And then you have the hospice aide that's based on the patient's need that goes out throughout the week. You have the social worker, the chaplain. But what's nice about Hospice Michigan is we have a care center that is staffed by RNs 24/7. So if I'm the caregiver and it's 3 a.m. and all of a sudden my loved one is in pain, I just call that care center number, no matter what time of day. And I can talk to a registered nurse. They can open up the chart for my loved one. They can see when the last nurse was out, what medications they're on. They can talk to me about, you know, the situation over the phone. If we feel we need to send a nurse out, we send a nurse out.
Oh, wow.
So even though we're not there in the home 24/7, if at any time that caregiver has a question or a concern, they can call us any time of the day.
Oh, that's
amazing.
I mean,
medical issues don't happen 9 to 5.
No.
Exactly.
No.
So having that care center be a support to our families is huge.
That's amazing.
It's good for the employees of the sandwich generation too.
Exactly.
Because
you don't have to wait until.
They can just, you know, when you look at, you know, visits at the doctor's office, you get 2 seconds with the doctor.
Yeah.
You know, it's really short. You can call our nurse anytime.
What is your website? That's where I was going. Where is your website? Because we want people to check it out, know what the resources are, where they're available. And if they have questions, like say somebody's not there yet, but they're like looking down like, oh, okay, my mom's getting up there. Maybe we should have this conversation. Mm-hmm. You would have someone on hand to help them have that conversation.
Yep. So our website is HOM.org.
Oh my gosh, that's so easy. HOM.org.
It is.
That might be the easiest website.
I think it is.
I think anybody can find that. Okay, so, and it's, my dad's kind of on the younger side, but I'm going to have this conversation with him just because I want to know what he's going to want to do.
Yes.
In that situation. I think it's important. We all should start having it. And thank you so much, Megan, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate
it was fun.
And we will see you next week.